Father, this morning, we remove hurry. Busy is okay. Hurry is not. I want to tell you here, on behalf of this 10:30 crowd, I want to tell you we love you. You're our sweetest friend. You are our absolution. A formal release from guilt, obligation, punishment, an ecclesiastical declaration of forgiveness of sins. You're all of it. This service could end right now, and worship continue throughout the rest of this day, and as long as these folks want to take it. When you think of God like that, without hurry, leave your matrix behind and understand the God of creation, the God of this world, the supernatural lover of your soul says, I am your absolution, no condemnation. It's done. Our sweetest friend. In Jesus' name, amen. How you feeling? How you feeling? That was Josh White. And what a story Josh has. We have a lot of Josh Whites running around here. And they're still working through their story. Josh ends on a great note. You'll hear from him later on with another Josh, the two of them combined, Josh Garrels and Josh White. And the story of these guys and what's happened to them, what they've left behind, Josh would say to you, it's about time. It's about time. I finally am moving forward in my life. It's about time. Anyone ever said that about a certain situation you just came over or got through? Raise your hand. It's about time, right? And you may say it a little different, like, it's about time, you know? But you know what? Over, for some of you, it may be circumstances over years. My brother was a big one for me. I miss him so much. He wasn't that much older than I was. I am. And at this period of my life where I'm sitting, I really could use him. I really could use some of his counsel just to talk. He loved some of the things I love so much that he understood just a few words out of my mouth. He could run the rest of my sentence. I miss him. His body wore out a little earlier than planned. And towards the end, he would say, it's about time. That phrase meant something different at that point. Instead of success, on my end, I felt like, what do you mean? Like I'm going to lose you? And he was saying, it's about time for me to meet my Savior. It's about time for me to get over this physical junk and be healed. And knew his definition of it's about time meant way more, way more. And for some of you that are struggling or this morning, you have a deeper reason for hearing that phrase. Put it where it needs to go. But there's something about the words, it's about time, when you put on there, he's my absolution. It's about time I'm forgiven. It's about time I'm free from guilt. Right? It's about time I don't walk in this resignation. It's about time my daughter picked a college. Oh, sorry. Okay. It's about time I found out they're finally selling the house when we've been leasing and going month to month and wondering, it's about time I can move on. It's about time I get a new job. It's about time for the boat schedule to change. Right? I miss that 4:30 boat a lot. A lot. Things change. An ecclesiastical declaration of forgiveness of sins. That's not my definition, but I captured that one and stole it. And love it. What a song. Recently, as early as early part of this week, we got an email from a couple of great friends that have been base camped at Emerald Bay. If you're visiting this morning, that's another part of Catalina. It's one of the last coves you'll find on the leeward side of the island here. There's a marine biology school kind of camp feel there, but they take it a little bit deeper. A little classroom experience for the kids, a little touch tank experience for the kids. There's also a YWAM base that's been put there in the past. A lot of neat things have happened at Emerald Bay. And in the very, I would say, in the last 2 weeks, what has been a long, long wait of a lease that was finally allowed, the Mountain and Sea Adventure directors, Annie and Fran McCauley. Anybody know them? Here on the island, right? They moved their personal base camp here to Avalon. They live here. But Emerald Bay and all of its main headquarters of operation for MSA has now moved to White's Landing, where they started 21 years ago. Kind of a cool story. A lot's involved, and you may know some of their story and where it's taken them back and forth over the years. But this week, something changed. They said, going to do camp, and it starts on Wednesday of this week coming up. And they said in a very easy to read email, we are in trouble. The place looks like it's been raining for 4 months. Yeah. So what you see in front of you is the before shots. And from ripped tarps and nasty mildewy moldy tarps to basically where are the paths leading to the restroom? Where is the restroom? It's completely covered. A small group, a band of brothers, a very small group, put together. We grabbed Bob literally on the road. He was on the sidewalk. Get in, Bob. Get in, Bob. Right? I mean, he just punched out and punched in that quickly from the city and jumped in the truck. And I'm not exaggerating. And we did a very little guy time, but a lot of work. In fact, the work ended and we literally got in the car. We hardly had time to take photos. So there's where you get your snorkel gear. And this is what it looked like before when you get your snorkel gear. All right, so where do you get your snorkel gear? Everything there is pretty much good to go on over half of the camp. One half we didn't dare touch. Yeah, we had some company while we were working. No lie, right? These critters just roam free. White's Landing. Look at these few shots here. Some of the most beautiful place that I've stood on the island. The largest stretch of natural beach on Catalina Island. Gorgeous. The largest watershed. So you can imagine how much stuff was pushing through there and how tall the flowers are. As tall as me. Beautiful stuff. And yesterday, we took a slow start to the morning. Meaning we had breakfast at 8, and before 8, we got our exploration in, a little bit of hiking around the campus, because we wanted to stay cool while we did a lot of the outside work, so we got started very soon after breakfast. About 8:30, we were on it again. We worked all the way to the afternoon and got in, and I think Annie and Fran are going to like what they see. There's a shot that I made from the beach, and I wanted to see if it's in there. Daniel, did it make it? Didn't cross over? Okay. I have it on my Facebook page. This is absolutely one. It's astounding to stand there and see how green and lush and how gorgeous the giant coreopsis that are blooming right now. They look like candelabras with bright yellow flowers coming off of them. Some of the green that's on the embankment with the water and the sunrise coming in. I had no idea where I was standing. I'm like, this is not Catalina. It is Catalina. Pinch me. And if you get a chance and you want to say hi to them, and you can actually drive down to White's Landing, give them a call, give them an email, set up some time. One of the cool things that came out of that is this. We started dreaming right away, but based on the amount of work that we put in, we get usage of that facility for some of our events. We're considering one right now for couples. And we're looking at some opportunities there as we begin to dream a little bit. We saw more than what was there. I have never camped on that facility. I've never spent the night until this week. And I've never been so relaxed in my life. That's why you get a Josh White video like that one playing, right? You're my friend. And I love you. And I felt that. Because I wasn't walking back and forth on a 30-yard beach? Maybe. I had over the size of 2 Ben Weston beaches to walk on, and I had plenty for God to work on in me and back. I loved it. If you haven't been to White's and you get a chance, start some conversation with him and go down there. Just paddle down there in a kayak and pull up on the beach, see what it's like. It's just a few coats down. Gorgeous place. I believe that when we put in the work, when we invest, that God brings things our way. It's about time. It's about time. You've been putting in the work as a parent. There's an investment there. You've been putting in the work as a spouse. It's about time something kicks in. You've been putting in work as a single person, praying to God, I need someone. It's about time. Right? Great verse here. Proverbs reminded me of what we were doing out there. This is a beautiful verse. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies have no sense. None. You put in the work, God will bless that work. And I believe that Andy and Fran, being Christians at the helm and directors of a fairly large program, God can bless their ministry there. I mean, he's returned them there after 21 years. Something new can happen. Something new is happening to them. I want to partner with that. What do you invest in? What kind of fantasies in your mind do you come up with that really have no reality or work behind them? Your end, the real elbow grease work on your end. Where have you had the time to dream? So you can get to the place to say it's about time. How often do you dream? How often do you allow yourself time to dream? When was the last time you did a beach walk? I know it's been a rough winter season for one of those. How about just a horse trail walk? Right? You hear it from the pulpit here all the time. I love what we have, even here in Avalon. If you're not able to get out of town, it's all right. There's plenty of trails. Plenty of trails. God will meet you there when invited. He'll allow you to dream. I want you to see God that way. Lots of dreams. There are so many different types of dreams. There's some big ones out there, and they've kind of labeled a few of them. Let's talk about dreams for just a second. There's daydreams, right? Do you know the average person is sitting 70 to 120 minutes a day daydreaming? I'm sure large companies have figured that out. They figured out how to pay you and not pay you for certain amounts of time throughout the day. It's one of those things. Daydreaming, classified as a level of consciousness between sleep and wakefulness. It occurs during our waking hours when we let our imagination just carry on, just keep on going. If you haven't seen the movie Secret Life of Walter Mitty, that is the entire first part of that movie. Just this guy completely in La La Land and wanting a better life. That's the thing, is he imagined himself as the superhero. He imagined himself conquering the quest and rescuing the beauty. But it never went past fantasy. He didn't make the risk happen. He turned around and just desired it to happen and let his fantasy world rule. Right? That's a good example. The next one would be a lucid dream. This one's pretty popular. It's when you realize you're dreaming. Whoa. Ground control to Major Tom. Come in, Major Tom, right? I'm back. Wait a second. This is only a dream, right? How many have literally woke up from your sleep in the middle of the night going, oh, it's only a dream, right? How do you feel at that point? Depends on the dream, doesn't it? In most cases, it's, thank God, that's only a dream. There are those. Most dreamers do wake up like that and feel that way. Other dreamers have cultivated the skill to remain in the lucid state of dreaming. They just play it out a little longer. They just kind of stand there. They become an active participant in their own dreams. For some people, it's the fear of heights and that first step on the zip line. And they may not take it. They may have a scheduled tour the next morning. And the night before, they stay in a lucid state, wondering, all different types of, if they take that first step, what could happen? Both good and crazy scenarios. Yeah, making decisions. This one bears little definition, but nightmares. Disturbing dreams that cause us to wake up feeling nothing but frightened, extremely drained, very anxious, and it'll ruin your day. No doubt about it. Their response, typically a response to some kind of trauma that's going on, and it could be in your family, could be just emotional, a situation with a fellow worker, an employee, somebody that's just got in your grill, and they just are annoying, and all of a sudden you just play out the worst case scenario, and a nightmare occurs. Research shows that most people who have these things reoccurring have a family history of psychiatric problems, just long-term nightmares over and over again, bad drug experiences, people who have contemplated suicide and or rocky relationships, typically. So a nightmare now and then is way different than it just never stops, going on and on. Fear that needs to be confronted, fear that needs to be acknowledged. How about reoccurring dreams? People in the Old Testament, you'll read constantly, reoccurring dreams. This came up, and this came up again. Yeah, they repeat themselves. Very little variation in the story, or even in the theme. And as a result, dreams may reoccur because the conflict depicted in the dream remains unfinished, or it's unresolved, or even ignored. So you see it come back, okay? And once you've found resolution to the problem, it's believed that these dreams stop. Isn't that interesting? So, maybe that works. Healing dreams. Messages in your head that come up when you're sleeping or when you're in a dreamful state that says, try this for your healing. Try this. I want you to try this. It could be God speaking. I want you to eat differently. I want you to, tomorrow, instead of this, I want you to take this off. I don't want you to do this tomorrow. You need time. You need time to heal. And God speaks, allowing God to speak in your healing. I've had people tell me, even in counseling, they've had a healing dream where God said, I want you to remove this from your life. It's become an addiction. And as a result, the dream resulted in reality. They stopped and their body was healed as a result. They woke up and said, I'm hearing, I need to stop doing this. Dreams of this nature may be telling the dreamer that you need to go to the dentist or the doctor. Everyone else has been telling you to do it, but in a dreamful state, you hear that. Scripture tells us there are prophetic dreams seemingly telling us what's coming, what's happening. There are signal dreams. They help you solve problems, make decisions. I have these a lot. And I keep something close to my bed where I can just jot it down. If not, my notes section of my phone. I just wake up and I'll write it down and I go right back to sleep. Anyone like that? Okay. Where ideas are coming up. Okay. Specifically event-related things. But they translate into your waking life. This is my favorite. I don't have a better name for it. I'm just calling it epic dreams. Epicness. Literally, great dreams. They're so huge. They're so compelling and so vivid, you cannot ignore them. And on top of that, it keeps coming back in your head as if you just dreamt them last night, and it may be weeks later. You're still thinking about them. Anyone here? Epic dreams? All right? Before we move to Catalina, yes, there was some anxiety, but there was that window, like that honeymoon stage, where I was like, I cannot wait to move to Catalina. There were epic dreams of what life on this island could be like. Right? Minus all the work that's involved in reality. When cruise ships pull up, I had literally those dreams. Oh, I'm just going to climb every mountain, you know, every stream, follow every rainbow. I'm going to just go, let it go. Here I am. Catalina. Epic dreams. They were there. What kind of dreams do you have? Share with your neighbor. You have 1 minute. Realistically, what kind of dreams do you have out of those 8? Epic, signal, prophetic, healing, reoccurring, nightmares, or possibly lucid or daydream a lot. Talk to your neighbor. You got 1 minute. Go. Some of you are sleeping right now. All right. Let's reconvene. For some of you, that was really easy. For some of you, it was really easy. You're currently dreaming right now, and someone just leaned over to hear what you have to say. You're completely zonked. Others just went ahead and slept for that 1 minute. Let's just buy some time here and snooze one off. You did way too much yesterday, and you're exhausted. Well, Daniel's very anxious to get to point number one, as I can see right here. He's trying to move me along. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you know it is about time for you to dream about your faith. Write that in. It's about time to dream about your faith. You know, when you think about your faith, sometimes it doesn't coexist in your mind with what you're dreaming about. But I want you to be reminded of this. This dream envisions what you might look like if you were more committed as a follower of Christ. I put that song on earlier by Josh White because I needed something like that in my playlist, and I have a hunch that 90% of everyone in this room, unless you're living on this island in a totally different set of circumstances, that you're walking through that same mindset, that something is out to get me around the corner. Beautiful place here, but someone, some hater, some situation, I just got over this hump, there's another one waiting for me, and you're constantly living kind of behind. Constantly behind. And I needed somebody to say, absolution. And I needed the guy, what do you see what he looks like, man? I needed what Josh White offers. And this actually came from my son. Much younger than me. Also a pastor, going through some of the same stuff. And he goes, Dad, this song, this author, this guy, you need to check him out. I totally relaxed with this guy. I said, man, I can just go fly fishing, saltwater fly fishing in Florida. He's going nuts with it. And just put this in my ears, watch a sunset, and I just come back like I've had a 4-day retreat. So what do you have going into your faith? What goes into it? For some people here, you're always on the go. And I get it. Maybe that's how you think. I've heard one person say this week that while they work out on a stair climber or they hear God speak. I actually heard that in a podcast this week. While they work out, they can actually hear from God. Maybe that's how it works for you. For most people, it's literally sitting under a tree for a while. Others, it may be Sunday afternoon is my time, and I ask God all this stuff. But I just want to know when you hear Him speak. What does your faith look like? When Christ is on the line, can you be considered a committed follower versus just someone with a lot of head knowledge about the Bible? How far do you take it? It requires focus. Commitment requires a lot less chaos in your life. You might say, what does chaos look like specifically? I'm glad you asked. Let me go through some of the things that describe in my life what it looks like. First thing, chaos can look like constant clutter. There's a reason they say spring cleaning. There is a reason for that. If you were to go home tonight and look up the word clutter in the dictionary, some of you might see a picture of yourselves, okay, in there. Huge issue, because clutter is often reflected in a busy life. I am a cluttered person. I just can't stop. I'm always on the go. And as a result, that's why we have cluttered desks. We have a junk drawer. We have closets. Pebbly beach storage. You open the container, and it comes right out on the sidewalk. I don't know how else to describe maybe the way that you shop. You go in for one thing at Vons and come out $150 later. And that stuff goes in your fridge. Open that door and who knows what's going to fall out. It's just never ending. And it's part of the backdrop and the scene of a cluttered life. Let's do a little mass confession as I go through these. Half of our church grew up Catholics probably, so you will love mass confession. Here we go. Clutter, show of hands. Raise your hand. Get it up there. All right, thank you. Be proud. Yes, we're all in that. All right, see, you're not alone. You're not alone. That's the great thing about church. You're not alone, but not just clutter. How about addiction to speed? And this is where I feel like hiding behind the pulpit. And this pulpit's not very, I can't really hide here, okay? I'm not talking about the drugs, so don't vote yet. I saw some hands go up, okay? Too early. That's the fast people. You don't even need to describe it. I'm there. I'll be there. That's me. These are the people who are on speed, okay? The people who are addicted to speed are the people who talk fast. Everything's got to go fast. They even listen fast. Uh-huh. Yeah, your point is? Okay, go. Land the plane. Land the plane, Andrew. Land it. I need more Josh White right now. When you're around him, your blood just starts going nuts. What they're trying to say is, hurry up, speed it up. Got to get somewhere. Got to go, got to go. What they do is they finish your sentence for you. They hate to wait for anything. They're the people usually in the grocery store, you know this, they're sizing up the amount of items in the other person's cart and the age of the ticket, the person actually in the register who is running the item. They look at it and go, okay, we got... Then when they get there, they look back to see if they did beat that person, right? They're going, oh, it's that person at the checkout. I am so going to this checkout. Or the self-checkout, right? Which fails on me 1 out of 2 times. Just letting you know, somebody help me with that. How did I just describe it? It's under chaos. It's crazy. And multitasking is another one. Both hands go up for me on that one because I need both to juggle as I'm multitasking. Look at all the hands that went up. This is wild. You know what it is, right? And I literally saw this. She's not in this room. And I know this person. They actually work at the sand trap. Driving their golf cart, pulled up to Five Corners, shaving their legs while they pulled up to Five Corners in a golf cart. In a golf cart, right? Who knows if the cell phone might have been on. You talk about multitasking, okay? No lie. Just saw it. Just saw it, okay? Watching television, having a conversation, checking email, multitasking, putting on your makeup and feeding 5 cats at the same time, whatever, okay? Listening to a sermon right now while you're drawing and getting on your cell phone and all the things that I watch happening every Sunday, okay? Making reservations for lunch afterwards. All of those things, multitasking. How many multitaskers? Raise your hand, okay? Someone goes, real quick, like, I don't want you to know that. Some of you are getting tired of raising your hands. And I'll give you a break, because the next few we're going to talk about are a little too embarrassing to admit. And this is from personal stuff. As I was just walking down this massive beach yesterday, and I needed every inch of sand. My wife knows that there's something, and it's because of how I grew up, okay? I grew up like this, that a beach walk does a lot for me. It does a lot. I'm not out to get a tan, okay? I'm literally putting 1 foot in the sand, going more confident with each step. And I honestly, at first, do not expect God to meet me there. And that sounds kind of weak. But I know that I need to be present. I need to set up this walk, okay? And or for you, you got to start the hike. That's the hardest part. I just need to get down there and put my feet in the sand. And after my attitude goes away, and the smart car... Cool. I'll finally begin to settle. How about superficiality? And that's not for Mary Poppins. You stay on the surface with most people because hurry is the enemy of depth. It's the enemy of depth. I heard a quote from Dallas Willard this week, and John and a few other buds were checking out this podcast, and I put it on Wild Men. By the way, if you have the Wild Men Facebook page, both podcasts 1 and 2 are in there. Dallas Willard says this: we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. You don't go deep with people and live your life in a very shallow place. Otherwise, you become a very shallow person, so shallow that you don't think rush and hurries even impacting your life, and you're superficial. And it affects this one. It's called relationship fatigue. The fatigue is when you have no time for those you're closest to. Pay attention here. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm actually preaching to myself. I have gone through this one back before I was a pastor and I had a whole other life that was going on. I was so tired and drained. I was so preoccupied that when my friends did come around, they were needy. They deserved my love the most. They deserved to hear about the good news from me. Instead, they're the ones that got cheated. They actually got my emotional table scraps, so to speak, whatever was left over. In the back of my mind, there's a song going on, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, right? Relationship fatigue. I'm just too tired. If you're awake right now, this one concerns me the most. They all concern me, okay, but as a pastor, I'm very concerned about this one. Spiritual emptiness. And I was actually just typing this one recently. I put this one in going, this is where there's no time at all, for emotional energy to sit down with the Word of God and to read it, to reflect on it, and to consider how God might be wanting to talk to you. How about guide you? And if you're in a situation where you feel like I need to follow something, how about allow God to lead you? I need to follow something. I'm tired. I feel like that a little bit today. No, I haven't had my ibuprofen. But yesterday was a hard day. And as a result, I need to follow. Let God lead. Every Sunday feels great when I let God lead. As a consequence of spiritual emptiness, your heart shrinks. Your desire for worship disappears. This thing that John was talking about Ecclesia, April 8th, Monday night, not a Saturday night. You're too tired to come. Your small group is meeting. You're too tired to go to small group. I had a heck of a day. Or my wife's tired, so I need to stay home with her. Or he's tired, I need to stay home with him. My kids are tired. They have been for a week. I need to stay home. The fight for your own heart, the looking and persevering for what God says, I've got something for you tonight. I need to meet with you. But you're too tired. You're suffering what might be described as an inner erosion of your soul, disguising itself as weary, where your spiritual life is just malnourished. That's what it is. You're starving, and you get to a point where you don't know which end is up. It's kind of like being in a marathon, or how about a buffalo run, you know, a double marathon, and you're halfway, and you feel like you're at Middle Ranch, but there's no ranch. You're in the middle of nowhere, and just spiritually empty. A moment of complete honesty right now, okay? As you look at some of the things that I've talked about, is there anybody in here who just wishes they could pull back on the throttle just a little bit? Raise your hand. Keep them up, because I have a feeling there's more honesty on the way. You feel like you can pull back on the throttle just a little bit? Okay. Do it. You get to. You've been living your life at such a fast pace, cranking up the RPMs. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion, to the day of Jesus Christ. It's an ongoing thing. Don't let the enemy in right now. There may be a root of bitterness that's forming here because you're saying to yourself, Pastor, you just don't know my situation. You have your scenarios that you're playing out, but you don't know mine. This verse reminds you that this takes a lifetime, and I get that. But if you're ever going to read this verse, and you're ever going to find something in these verses, you've got to pull back on the throttle and invest in your soul. Why? Because your kids are counting on it. Your spouse is counting on it. Your employees are counting on it. If you're a teacher, your classroom's counting on it. Your administration's going nuts, probably. They're counting on you. You matter. And you need that investment. Confident that this good work will carry itself out. You've got to allow for that good work to take place. Amen? You've got to allow for it to take place. So do I. So do I. If I get myself in a stupor, and I'm going crazy, event, 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 and then Sunday comes, and I stand up here before a congregation completely spent, completely played out, absolutely no sermon, nothing. Right? What kind of man am I, first of all? What kind of pastor or shepherd would I be? Who am I leading? God's got to do a work on me. And my wife knows this most. She can tell when I'm not reading the Word of God. So she can tell. She knows. And I can tell when a new Christian isn't reading the Word of God. Just like I can tell when someone is. Because there's questions. You cannot read God's Word without questions. I've got thousands of them. And when someone comes, I've got a question about this, right? The reading. Colossians. He is the one we proclaim. Pause. Amen. Amen, church. He is the one we proclaim. You need to really let Scripture go. Let it settle in. Put it in. He is the one we proclaim. All these things that we do, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that's great. Pops, you want to pastor a church? He is the one we proclaim. You want to get a grip on your family because it's out of control? You have no idea what's going on with your family. You have no idea what your budget looks like. You want to get a grip on your job and those employees that are out of control? I know there's supervisors in this room. I'll tell you right now, He is the one we proclaim. He is the one we proclaim. I don't care what your rejection looks like. You proclaim the good news, and guess what? Present everyone fully mature in Christ. This follows through. This is what you're looking to do. You want to build something that has substance? You want to build something that has legacy? You want to build something that has a solid foundation? Start dreaming about your faith. Start dreaming that this could go in a different direction. It starts with me. He is the one I proclaim. When we got that email from Annie and Fran, I totally did not have a clue when this could happen. Camp? What? Less than a week and a half? Are you kidding me? What's going on here? And a few of us looked at our calendar and we just said, you know what? This person's out of town. This person out of town. My spouse is out of town here. We could actually get away for this window and dream a little bit. If we do this, there's a chance for something bigger. There's a chance for a deeper investment for a church. This is cool. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's where the wisdom is found. Dissect that verse. And you'll start dreaming again. You'll start dreaming again. If it's been a while, dissect that verse. If you're a parent and you're just burnt out, you're tired, you need a day to not parent. It just doesn't seem to be one. And I've gone through that 4 times, okay? Let this verse settle in. You want to start growing in your faith? You want to start maturing in Christ? Who are we doing this for? Who do we do church for? That's it. He is the one we proclaim. Who said that to us, by the way? Who wrote Colossians? Paul. Right? Paul had to take it off himself. Just look at Paul and his life. He could take a lot. Hey, look at Paul. Look what I've done. But he says, no. The author even points you in that direction. It's time to dream about your future. You still have a future. You may be like, no, my future was in the past. Oh, the glory days. Oh, this church used to be so great. You should have seen us way back when the boats were flying out here. And then, there's more future. There's more future. And you know what? These things envision what things may change as a result of smart, godly choices. Write it in. Baptism. That's a good choice. Chick-fil-A, that's a good choice. All right, I threw that one in there. Godly owners, genuinely, though, it's kind of cool. And I will say this, how about better parenting? I want to invest in places that are going to help my kids. You want to parent better? Start with your choices. How about better health as a result? Godly choices. I need to stop doing this. I got to stop eating so much of this, or I need to walk. I just need to run. Whatever it is, make the decision. Would you like more adventure in your life? Hello? That's a question. Yeah. Some of you are like, you live in adventure land. You live here. You're on a Channel Island. Absolutely. At this point, drop dead gorgeous Channel Island. Either way, it's drop dead gorgeous. But so colorful, so beautiful. Well, make a choice. Follow your dream. Your future should include nature. Find a creek. I dare you. They're flowing. Find a waterfall. I dare you. They're flowing. Find a fox before it finds the front end of your vehicle. Okay? They're everywhere. They're frolicking. There is food on the island everywhere, not just prickly pear cactus apples. There's plenty to eat. They are roaming free. How dare you? More adventure. Guys and ladies, how about finally battling instead of getting taken out? I'd throw this one in your present. You're sitting there just getting worked by the enemy. I mean, you may be typing out some of the nastiest messages to people, not even thinking about where your heart is going when you say what you say. Why? Because you have been taken out. The context of battle has missed you entirely. There are people in line ready to fight. There's a regiment. You've lost your place. You're just, AWOL, gone, completely taken out. How about lifting your head from between your tail, picking up your sword, and going after the enemy before you shoot that message and text? How about picking up your sword and looking at someone and offering them something that comes from God's word rather than your own bitterness? How about seeing a church explode with growth? There's not enough pews. We're adding chairs simply because you're not afraid to invite people, because you picked up your sword and stopped worrying about yourself and looked at other people. Your future needs to include fighting. You know, Aragorn said it best. Open war is upon you whether you want to risk it or not. Spiritual warfare is going on whether you want to admit it or not. And folks, you may sit there and be as bored as anything else. I'm letting you know the enemy is at work and he wants you staying right there. Battle instead of getting taken out. How about a rescue of your spouse? It may be a little ugly in the very beginning because it is a rescue and it's not always perfect, but it's a rescue for your spouse or your loved one. Could be your child. Could be your daughter. Could be your son. Could be an uncle. A rescue. It's going to require something from you that's going to take you out of your comfort zone, no doubt about it. There's risk. Watch your faith increase as a result. It's a part of your future. Those are godly choices because you're going to get a reward at the end of this. Guaranteed. However it looks, God says, I'm there. I know the plans I've had for you, says Jeremiah. Okay? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Solomon says, don't let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path. Open your eyes this morning. Look at what Scripture has to say for your heart this morning. I'm telling you, even speaking about this right now from this pulpit, there's energy going into my heart. Son, be wise. Let your heart stay on the right path. Battle. Get up. Get up. I know that was hard. Get back in the game. Get out there. Find me in nature. Find your battles. Get your place in this. Go after your spouse. Rescue the heart of your teenage daughter. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right at work when you know something illegal is taking place. Do the right thing with integrity. Regardless of the mission statement, what other people are doing, do the mission statement. Stand up for the things with character. Dream of your future and making godly decisions. These verses are loaded, folks. Last but not least, allows us to focus on others. It's time to dream about your friends. What would your friends look like if they were Christians? Folks, it starts with an invitation. And if you've ever need somebody to listen to, saying to them, hey, I'm a good listener. By the way, whether you're Christians or not, when people are hurting and in need, they don't want your simple answers. They don't. They don't feel like you've got to solve everybody's problem, and they're not looking for you to do that. They don't need a poem. They don't always need a Bible verse, okay? That's great. And pastors are the same way. They don't need that from us all the time. Basically, what you're going to do by doing that is just put a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage, okay? You listen. Catch that? That's what people want. If you ever need to talk, I'll be there to listen. Extend an invitation. How about extend an invitation to church? Pick something specific. Maybe it's Easter. Maybe it's ecclesia. Find the church. Church are people. Where are they meeting? An invitation to something. You know, I know you don't normally go to church, but try ours. It's pretty cool. They show some great videos. They cook out. A bunch of them go to the interior. Various ministries cruise around and do things. Pastor's kind of a dork, but you may want to come anyway. All right? And it's big enough where, you know, you can sit in the back row. You can hang out back there in the back row and hide. You know, they won't put headbands on you that say visitor. Not going to cost you when you walk in or out. You're not going to have that. Why don't you go with me? We can sit here. I'll sit with you. I'll meet you. Come in a little bit later if you want to. In fact, if we need to leave early, I'll leave early with you. Have you ever done that before? Extend an invitation to get more information. They may ask you a question. You say, that's a good question. I have no idea. Do you know, folks, over 2,000 years of Christianity, do you think someone's going to come up with a new question these days? The answer is no, all right? There's information, and you can get it for them. I'll find out. That's a really good question. Extend an invitation to explain salvation, and that means to be a follower of Christ. Expect a variety of responses. I've been a Christian since I was in 12th grade. That's 30-plus years. And you know how many people have blown me off? Just the wild men alone that have followed me around the side. You know how many people have blown me off? Thousands. You know how many people have said yes to an invitation? Hundreds. A lot. I want to be honest with you. If you're following somebody like that, if you're hanging out with somebody like that, that may not be your personality, that outspoken personality or whatever, that's still something you can do in your quiet personality way. It's not up to them. It's not. Just like this morning, it's not up to me to feed you every single week, as I've been doing for some of you for many, many moons here as you've been coming out. It's up to you to take what you have and you've been given and to do something for God that is above and beyond, and do something with it. It's not up to me to invite your friends. You should listen to this guy's sermon, right? You preach the sermon. You give the sermon. You share your sermon notes. You invite them to come and listen. Some of you in here may have closed hearts. And when you throw out seed every week, like happening here, it goes all over the place. And I throw out seed every week to see where it will land. And for some, it just, you're having to be here, your spouse is watching, or other people are watching, so it's an attendance thing. And you take notes, you're thinking to yourself, that's good, that makes sense. But when you walk out of the door, there's distraction that happens in your life. And just like the seed from that parable that Jesus is telling, it runs off. It doesn't take root. Others have fertile hearts. And when the seed is sown in God's word, it's taught, it goes into your heart and it takes root and it changes your life. And if you want deep doctrine, you want deep theology, start with that. Get your heart fertile. Begin with an openness. That way you can load it up all you want. Because the future includes others, not just all of your knowledge. It has an outreach to it. Because there's something that's compelling to you to say, I've got to share this. And that knowledge is coming to you and through you to someone else. For every 10 times you invite somebody, they're probably going to get rejected. You're probably going to get rejected 6 times. That's my guess. But it's worth it. But please invite. Because it's for eternity. Let's take a look at where they go. In other words, what their life looks like with the hope and of Christ and of a changed life. 1 Peter says this, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Can you imagine that person that you're thinking of right now that needs an invite involved in all those things? Can you imagine them on the other side? Looking back on that lifestyle, now taking their own stuff, their own rejection, right? There's so many people that have made that change. They're like, I used to be this guy, but I'm not anymore. And they're strong and they can take it. Peter warns us, no matter what, there will be those that are surprised at you. I can't believe you don't party like you used to party. What's going on? My life's different. I got invited to something and something changed my life. Before our worship team comes up, I'm going to start worship right now through song. Allow you to hear Josh and Josh here. This is Josh Garrels and Josh White in a song that just recently exploded in my ears, and on paper I wrote it down. And the video is okay, but the message is loaded. And it's called Spirit Resurrect. Do something inside me that is totally you and all yours when it's all said and done. I remove this thought that it's of me and by me, because it's for me. Spirit, resurrect inside me and do this for me. Let's roll film.
Father, we exist within your love. With our hopes fixed upon your Son, Spirit, guide us as we run this race of faith that you've begun.
Thank you, Jesus, for your grace upon our broken hearts. Save the lost through
that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Paul's in chains. Paul's a free man while incarcerated. Paul is in jail and still free. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. He's got his eye on the future. It's time to dream, my friends. It's time to let go of your fears and pursue a dream. And let these scriptures come alive. Get the malaise off and open your eyes to what God is saying. Remove those chains. I'm moving forward. And Father, this morning, I not just put a blessing on this congregation. I ask for this congregation to be a blessing. To come before you and say, we want to be a blessing. We don't just want to keep asking for your blessing. How can you bless some of the stuff we are doing or not doing? How can you bless some of the things that you see? May we dream today. What is happening in our hearts and in our minds? Spirit, resurrect. Come inside. You're our absolution. We've been forgiven of much. I come before you now, Father, and I am fully dreaming that whatever you say can happen. And in all faith and in all honesty, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you. I don't see it. I don't see it. It's just a dream. But I'm going to believe. I'm going to ask that you take my unbelief and do away with it. And another step, my friends, and another step, my friends, and you will see very quickly how far you've come when you look back. You will see the results in your family as a result of you taking that step forward of giving God the glory, literally giving Him all the glory in the way that you parent, in the way that you love. You will see your marriage reconcile. You will see things resolve. You will see things happen. When your heart is in tune with God, God will bring things together for His glory and for His good. He works them together for good. It is possible. We must do the impossible, it would seem. But it's not. Take that step. Let God take the impossible. But you've got to take that risky step to start with. Father, hear our prayers. They're different for each person. This morning, only you can do that. And thank you for the joy of living. Thank you for the joy that we see of having a beautiful island to do church. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.